Live from Los Angeles, it's the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
We'll be swimming when we die.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
Where the stars are bright shine. I am Mark Azure, and now our host, the MC, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. I almost always say I have been so looking forward to this show when I start a show, because I do look forward to every show. This particular show, I'm looking for what to look forward to, and what I look forward to is exactly what we titled the show and how our guest talks about teen suicide. We've titled the show "Time to Render All Teen Suicides Obsolete," and then a little later on, our guest will share with you her take on that, her motto. And so we obviously know that this is an important conversation to be had. We're glad you're all with us. And it's interesting because there are so many conversations that we want to have on the Life Changes Show. We've had so many different kinds, but it's not just a matter of having the conversation. It's so much about having the right conversation, as right as possible, with the right person. And we feel tonight we have the right person. Conversation with our guest, that was confirmed. And so I am grateful you will hear her showing up with heart, with understanding, knowledge, kindness, hope, and some messages that had me in tears. She even said to me, I don't have to come on so strong. And I said to her, you are the professional. You are out there. Talk about first responder. Talk about essential worker. You are out there on the front line. You come on as strong as you need to get the message out. And you don't worry about me. This is the message is so important. So we're so grateful to have Dr. Katie Eastman with us. And a little later on, music. Prayerful music, if you will, and perfect timing, by Ksenia Luki, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi meditation. Phi meditation helps you harness the power of I am, or intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi beads at phibeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter @LifeChangesShow and Facebook @TheLifeChangesShow.
I am Filippo Voltaggio, host, and I am with co-host and producer Mark LeJure.
Who doesn't want to say too much because this show is so important. I know of a half a dozen suicides through friends and family, myself, from what's been going on this planet over the last year. We need this information out there.
Time to render all teen suicides obsolete. Our guest is grief, loss, and transition coach, licensed psychotherapist, and medical social worker, and so much more. Welcome, Dr. Katie Eastman, to the show.
Thank you so much. I am so happy to be here. This is such a tough topic to talk about, and it is so essential. So thank you.
Well, thank you. And thank you for being the right one for this. And we talked about reasons why you're the right one. Talk about being right out there in the front lines.
I am every day talking to suicidal teens. I am talking to parents who have lost teens to suicide. I am talking to teens who have lost friends, some of whom are listening right now. I spend my day looking for what you talked about. Where's the hope? Trying to give them hope. And there is hope. There are things we can do and things we can say to them to give them a reason to not complete suicide, to believe in themselves and to believe that they have a meaning and a purpose to be on this earth.
So this has been important always. It is important always. It's even more important at this particular time. Why?
Because so many of the coping mechanisms that our teens have had have been taken away from them. Their social isolation, their friendship groups, their times with sports, their times with activities. Like all of us, teens need to feel a sense of connection. They need to feel a sense of belonging. And when they're home and they're isolated and they're trying to do things on Zoom and they've lost all of those mechanisms that helped them, then they are at risk, higher risk of hurting themselves. And if they have an already existing mental health issue, then that risk is exacerbated. And so we do have to pay attention to what the pandemic has done to teens.
You gave some statistics earlier today as we were talking, and I thought to myself, my goodness, if this were a disease, it would be a pandemic of its own.
Yes, I think it's very alarming when you start to realize that according to the statistics, every single day in the United States, there are 3,700 suicide attempts by teenagers from grade 9 to 12, and even more if you include middle schoolers. And one very alarming statistic that I found was that the CDC has found that kids are younger now. They're as young as 10 years old coming into the emergency room for mental health issues.
So you said attempted. So that is bad enough. Now, so many of them are successful. I know this is part of the conversation, but even the attempt, and the good news is even the attempt can be prevented.
Yes. When I think of suicide, I think of the perfect storm. I have found through all of my research and through working with people that there are four major factors that come at once. It's like a perfect storm colliding when someone completes suicide. The first is a thought process. There's a sense of despair, a sense of emotional intensity that they want to just get rid of the pain. People don't die from suicide because they want to die. They die from suicide because they want to eliminate the pain. Secondly, there's a means. There's an opportunity. There's something there that gives them the means to take their life. So if we eliminate getting gun, if we take guns out of the home, 41% of suicides occur from guns. And it's not enough to just lock them up or put them in cabinets or hide them. Kids find them. I have so many examples of where they found the key, they watched the parent, if they want them, they'll get them. People need to remove all the means if they have a child in the home who suffers from depression and has any signs of wanting to hurt themselves. Then thirdly, there has to be opportunity. If we leave kids alone who are having difficulty, then they run the risk of having the opportunity to hurt themselves. And then last, intensity. Teenagers are impulsive oftentimes. And when you have an argument with a teenager, one of the things parents can do, check on them. Because we know that it's usually between 5 and 10 minutes. If someone intervenes during that time, they might be able to stop them. So any one of those things we can intervene in. We can give kids a sense of meaning and purpose. We can say to them, I love you. You're worthwhile. I will do anything for you. What do you need? I hear you. I understand that you're having a hard time. We can take those means out of our homes. We can give them to friends. We can remove them. And we can also create teams. One of the things that I have done very successfully is give each teenager who's struggling with suicidality a group of people who know about it. An example of a great story is a teenager who reached out to another peer in the middle of the night and said, I'm going to hurt myself. That teen went to their parents. Their parents called the parent, and immediately the parent ran into the room just in time to save their life. So everybody needs a team of support. Every teenager needs to know they matter.
What are the... So evidently, from what I'm sensing, all teens are at risk just because of what has been our normal life, and then which can be hard enough on a teen. And then there's been this particular stay-at-home time, which has exacerbated some of those issues. And then there are those that are at higher risk even still. And what are those?
Those kids are the kids who have a mental illness, who suffer from depression or anxiety, or even a more serious mental disorder, bipolar, schizophrenia. They might have a family history of suicide. They may have had attempts in the past, history of trauma in their family or in their life, exposure to violence. And two risky groups, intensified risk, are LGBTQ. It was so sad to me to realize that 40% of LGBTQ kids oftentimes complete either an attempt or suicide. And this is a history of alcohol or drug abuse. Also, Black male teens are at a higher risk for racial issues and for feelings of not belonging. So there are definite suicide risk factors that make kids more likely to be at a higher level of risk.
So when we come back in this conversation after a short break, we're going to be talking about a couple things. Already, the good doctor here has mentioned a couple signs, a couple things we can do. We're going to get a little bit more specific in support of teens that we know or parents that we know in support of each other as we support more and more teens, especially in the world today. And one of the things that we are doing is having this conversation. And I know that having the conversation is an important part of helping prevent teen suicide. So What we'll also touch on is how to have a conversation with a teen, how to start it. More with Dr. Katie Eastman when we return a little later on. Live music, a prayer, if you will, by Ksenia Luki, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition after this.
Want to connect with amazing people who are committed to making a difference? From the Heart Tribe is a platform, community, and movement with the purpose of bringing like-minded humans together to help animals and the environment in order to gain a stronger connection and understanding of the world around us. They are dedicated to effectuating positive change by empowering individuals to organize meaningful and engaging experiences that build compassion for animals and the natural environment. Their founders and members' passion is to inspire others to actively get involved in their homes, their communities, and the world, to raise awareness about the issues we face, and most of all, to be part of the solution. Through their efforts, they have also accomplished some amazing and tangible achievements. Their Pickup for Paradise beach cleanups have collected over 50,000 pieces of foreign debris. And also, thanks to animal rescue and recovery volunteers, over 30% of the volunteers have become vegan or reduced their meat intake. Daily habits make a big difference. Please join any of their upcoming events by going to fthtt.org and signing up for their newsletter. You can also follow on Instagram and Facebook at From the Heart Tribe. You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with our host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include influencers such as author Ariel Ford, business luminary Nolan Bushnell, and actress Dee Wallace on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Please send any comments or questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
Time to render all teen suicides obsolete with guest, grief, loss, and transition coach, licensed psychotherapist, and medical social worker, Dr. Katie Eastman. I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio. I am learning so much, have already from you, Doctor. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. There is so much for everyone to learn, and it's going to take all of us. Everyone who knows a teen needs to understand what to look for.
So you mentioned some of the things to look for. Let's list some if we can.
Okay. First of all, the most important thing is if anyone has a gut feeling that a teen is behaving differently, they're behaving oddly, they're maybe more disconnected from their friends, maybe they're isolating, maybe they're moody more than usual. Those are some things that make you pay attention. And then you start looking for, are they talking about a lot of negative things relating to themselves? Are they talking about feeling like they don't fit in? Are they talking about, you know, people would be better off without me? Are they talking shamefully? Are they feeling guilty? Are they feeling any kind of self-loathing? Are they feeling trapped? Do they talk about not being able to get out of a dark space? Are they feeling something isn't really right, that they've changed in their active, they seem more agitated, they seem more anxious than usual? Are their sleeping patterns, their eating patterns changed? And if any of those things are happening, and even if your gut is just saying something's not right, ask. The number one thing I will tell you unequivocally that everybody needs to do is ask. I hear so many stories of, I saw something and I didn't speak up. Speak up. If you tick them off, if you make them mad, if they're agitated at you, much better that they do that than if they die. So I'm going to say that the most important thing is you ask them at some point, are you feeling like harming yourself or killing yourself? And yes, it's a hard thing to ask, but you must. You have to ask. And it's okay for teenagers to not be okay, and they need to know that. And please don't ever say to them, you're just being a teen. You're just being moody. You're just trying to manipulate me. You just want something. You're just lazy. You're just any of that. Don't ever say any of that to them, because you just don't know. And the combination of their impulsivity and their intensity of their hormones and their emotions, it might be just enough.
You mentioned hormones and emotions, which is enough to have all of that behavioral, that list that you gave us. It unfortunately is average for a teen to go through all of those things under normal times, and then again, even more so under these times. It is hard to know whether that's part of the process or if it means something much more serious.
That's right. And that's why we always have to ask. I say to parents that every single day during this pandemic, tell your teen at the end of their day, the end of their Zoom day, when they're finished with school, congratulations, you did it again. You made it through another day. You tried. And I think that one thing I really want to say is that we as parents oftentimes neglect telling kids that they matter and they're meaningful regardless of what they do, but just by being here. And we all get evaluated all the time from the time we're little. But how often do we say to kids, you know, it doesn't matter if you get a good grade. Are you a good person? Are you kind? Are you happy? Do you have friends? You know, we all need to really work harder at giving them a sense of internal meaning instead of always external.
Well, to take a break for a moment, and also I think this is really important because you're a good person. From the little that I know you, I feel you, and I'm grateful for us being able to have this conversation. How did you come to this work?
I have always worked with death and dying. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross was my mentor. When I was in college, I read her book and I actually met her. And I just at that point decided that that was something I really wanted to do. I had an interest in it and I had a passion, especially for kids. So I came to working with suicidal kids after working with dying kids for a long time in hospice. And it came to me, as sometimes things do come to us, through bereaved parents who came to me and said, help, we've lost our child to suicide. And I learned so much from them. And then I ended up learning a lot more from teens who were both suicidal and who also lost their friend, many of whom are listening right now. And they were my greatest teachers.
I liked how you said that sometimes your work chooses you. This is a calling for you, it feels like.
Yes, very much so. When I was sitting on a bench in college, I just had this idea that came to me that I had a real passion to help in the field of death and dying, and what about kids? And that's always been my phrase, my mantra, what about the kids?
Well, I think this is important to know, not just to know you better, but also to know where you're coming from. And speaking of listeners, there potentially can be all kinds of listeners. You mentioned a couple in particular who have lost a friend. What does one say to them?
What they've taught me is listen more, talk less, right out of Hamilton. Listen more, talk less. Let them tell you how they feel. Don't question it. Don't try to analyze it. Don't try to fix it. The most important thing we can say is, I hear you. I love you. I want to help you. And I want you to get the help you need. What can I do? And that's what they taught me, because when this happened, there were very few adults who knew what to say or what to do. And they were criticized and they were given so many troubled times from this experience. And what we did instead is we got them a place to gather and they helped each other. And that's another really important piece here is when there is a loss from suicide, teenagers need to gather. What we did here is we got our spiritual communities to take turns offering space for our teens to gather. And now our library has a space specifically designated for teens so that if anything happens in our community, they automatically can go there.
You know, and that reminds me, when you mention teams, it seems, I from what you shared, it feels like all of us need to know who's on our team, and that potentially whether a child is suicidal, to designate what a team is so that it doesn't come to that. You can always talk to so-and-so, especially in this day and age when it, you know, one has to be careful of who one is talking to anyway. So for parents to know where to say, this person seems, you know, like they're okay to talk to, or how does one navigate that? Or how do you feel about that?
Well, you know who your teen has in their lives and they will tell you who is most important, who's their A-team. Who has their back? Those peers, if they're struggling, need to know. The people listening that I was talking to you about, the teens that went through this, they helped each other because they all knew, and they still help each other when they are grieving. One of the things we did in our community is have a gathering of stakeholders. Boys and Girls Club, dance studio, mayor's office, politicians, different groups who interface with students, schools, hospital. And we created teams by doing that, by saying to parents and people in the community, you need to be educated. Find out who is important in your kid's life. That if they have something that they need to talk about, maybe they can't talk to you, but they can talk to somebody.
So I like that. It's not necessarily the parent creating the team, that, like you said, listening, and that potentially the child already knows who their team is, and letting them know that if it's a good team, then we agree, or we support that, or include me somehow, kind of thing.
Exactly. Yes. And I can give you a great example of where a teen who struggled with serious anxiety, there were five different significant adults from different parts of his life that were involved on his team, as well as a group of peers. And the story I told earlier about the person reaching out in the middle of the night, it was because we had gotten his team together that the peers knew exactly what to do when he struggled, and they helped keep him alive.
You know, actually, I've had some ideas. Let's bookmark, Katie, let's talk after the show tomorrow or what. I've had some ideas of some technology that's out there that might support as well, or unless you know of technology that's already out there to support.
Well, there are some teen chats, and there are, of course, there's the suicide hotlines that are available for teens. There's a lot online, but the problem is they don't want to be online anymore because they're online all day. And now that they're getting back to school, it's better, but they are very technology focused. So I know of several teen chat programs, but there's nothing like face-to-face.
Any information that that can be had around this subject that is offered by our guest, Dr. Katie Eastman, people can go to Recreate Coach and Counsel. RecreateCoachAndCounsel.com. To learn more about our guest, and also to actually connect with what she has. There's some blogs, and there's lots there to help in support of this conversation going forward. And also, we have an offer that we've put together that we'll announce in the next segment, as well as a message of hope from our guests. So stay tuned for that message of hope from Dr. Katie Eastman. A little later on, we're going to have live music with Ksenia Luki. And in our next segment, towards the end, we'll have our Ask Dorothy question, all on the Life Changer Show at Home Edition right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter at Life Changes Show, and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
I am Filippo Voltaggio, and our guest is Dr. Katie Eastman, who, along with everything else that we've been speaking, has extensive training in the field of pastoral psychology, specializing in loss, traumatic loss, and grief. She supports individuals, families, and communities before, during, and after serious loss. And in this case, thanks to this conversation, I trust more befores than durings and afters.
That is yes. That is our goal.
Yeah. So what is the message of hope that you give throughout, actually? I have felt it throughout.
When I first started working with dying children, I had to develop a message of hope to keep doing it. And the message of hope is that every moment of our life is precious, and we owe it to the people who have gone before us, especially to kids gone too soon, to live our life to its fullest, to let every single thing that happens to us be a lesson and an opportunity to live our lives better and differently. And part of that is reaching out with love to everyone. And especially, please reach out to children and teens right now and let them know that they're loved and they're lovable. And your life will be transformed as well.
Mm. Thank you. You know, I don't know what one could say to a parent. And I know there's so much that people say that's wrong. Even I feel like, oh, I wish I didn't say it that way. What does one say to a parent who has lost a child, especially through suicide?
The most important thing is you say something. The parents I have worked with will tell you that they are the ones that people walk away from. They hate going into the grocery store because they feel like a pariah. And the most important thing is you say to them, hello, I care, I'm sorry. Less is always more, but saying anything. Don't try to use platitudes or excuses, or definitely don't talk about your own losses. But to say to them, I care, is huge for them. And ask them what they need. Or even more importantly, they don't know what they need, especially when it's first occurred. So what they need is for you to say, hey, can I drop off food? What do you need? Hey, can I organize a meal train? Hey, can I mow your lawn? Hey, can I take care of your dog? Hey, can I help your kid get to school? It's more important for you to offer something concrete because they're completely overwhelmed. But they need to feel like you see them.
And interestingly enough, the teens that are going through issues need to feel like they are seen too.
Yes, absolutely. We all do. We all do. We all need to feel like we belong and we matter. We all need to feel like we have a reason to get up in the morning. And if we don't know that we're loved and lovable, it's very hard for us. And teens especially, because adults have a history of going through hard times, knowing they can get through it. But teens don't. And they're impulsive sometimes. And the pain can be so great that they're in that impulsivity added with the pain and not knowing what the future might be creates the opportunity for suicide.
Well, we are grateful to Tara Paley, is that her last name?
Yes.
Who introduced us to you. And she is a fan of ours and the Phibeeds. And she mentioned how that she thought I should introduce the Phibeeds to you. Little did I know that you were already doing something along the lines of giving something to teens that was a transitional object, which I think is brilliant. So what we decided to do at Life Changes after Dorothy and Mark talked about it was to start with giving you a dozen Phibeed bracelets that can be transitional objects for teens, just donating that to you and the work that you do, and for you to share them as you will. And potentially, I think two or three of them already have their names on them, but potentially the first 10 people that reach out to you directly through your website, maybe they can get a set too if they have a teen or a need to have a conversation with you. You could reach Dr. Katie Eastman at recreatecoachandcounsel.com. She hopefully we'll get those out in the next couple days, but that is yet another contribution, and I invite more people to contribute. And should this work, then we can do more. Let's just see as much support pour through. And unless you have something to say about that, Katie, I have one more thing I want to ask you about. But go ahead and.
Well, I think that's a wonderful idea, because the idea behind what I do is to give them a transitional object that they can look at and they know someone cares about them and they know that they have a meaning in this world. And so whenever they look at that object, I tell them to look at it and see that they're loved and lovable.
And so potentially parents could help designate or gift their child something to say exactly that, whether it's a religious something or a spiritual something or a natural something, preferably, or right?
Yes, anything. It can be anything that is given with that message.
Mark just said the gift of caring, which actually brings me to the last thought here before we have to move on. But this has been so important, so enlightening, and I trust helpful to many people. You did say how let's not be afraid to ask the questions, and And underneath all of what you shared with me earlier today and throughout this whole show, I have felt love, I have felt heart, I have felt caring and nurturing. And I'm wondering if more people share those kinds of words with their teens as a reminder, how would you say that?
I asked the teen that question. I said, what do you think is most important that parents say? And she said in these exact words, they need to listen. And when we tell them how we feel, they need to accept it. They need to understand that what we're feeling is our feelings, and they don't get to tell us if it's right or wrong. And I thought that was really important. If you say to your teen, I love you, I hear you, and I want to help you, those are the three most important things you can always say to them.
I love you, I hear you, and I want to help you.
Yep.
And then might some supporting words throughout the day or when they see them, I like how you're growing up, or I love how you're growing up, or you're the way you handle things impress me. We definitely don't want to false encourage, right?
Right. I think that it's more important for us to also make ourselves vulnerable. So I know that with our daughter, when she was younger, we used to say, how are we doing as parents? Are we giving you what you need? Could we do better? What do we need to change? We still do that. She's 18 now, but we've always asked, you know, what do we need to do? Because it's not all them by any means. And throughout the day, it's really important to just give them encouragement for the fact that they're even showing up on Zoom, or they're showing up for school, or they're trying. We don't ever give enough credit for effort. Effort matters.
Katie, you matter, and the work that you do is so greatly needed. I thank you for showing up so strong, decisive, and sharing your message with us today of hope.
Thank you. I really appreciate you asking me to be here. And for all the teens out there and their parents who are struggling with this issue, please, please, please talk and get help.
And if you need to reach out to Katie, Dr. Katie Eastman at Recreate Coaching and Counsel. Counsel, counsel.com. Thank you so much, Katie.
Thank you.
Look forward to a further conversation, I am sure.
Okay, great. You take good care, everyone.
Ciao, ciao. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy question.
Dear Dorothy, my name is Anna, and I've been listening to the Life Changes show for a long time now. Your answers have helped me with family members in the past, and I'm trusting you can help with one now. My question is in regard to my husband, Bob. We got married 2 months before the lockdown and had been living together for over 2 years and had been extremely happy. However, we are now living with each other 24 hours a day since we have been forced to work from home. Bob has become increasingly frustrated and angry and is constantly telling me what I need to do to change me. I love him with all of my heart, and I know I could change some things, and I am actually doing my best to do so. And yet, I am becoming overwhelmed with his need for perfectionism and with his anger directed at me. How can I continue to love him and yet love myself more as you have suggested us to do so?
My dear Anna, thank you for this timely question. I believe that this is so important in today's world. I intuit that Bob is frustrated beyond his ability to express, and that his frustration has nothing to do with you or your behavior. Being forced to be in another space 24 hours a day has had consequences for so many of us. The ability to go to work with others and to be able to share with others in person during the day is no longer possible for so many. We're used to being able to go to gatherings and sharing our lives with others. Even shopping in the past has been a fun experience for many of us, and the day-to-day interaction with coworkers in person helped us connect in ways that human beings need to connect. Being unable to do my workshops has been an unpleasant experience for me, and Zoom just doesn't provide me with the kind of connection that makes my heart expand. All of this to say that I have a feeling that Bob is experiencing the pain of isolation, which has become a way for way too many of us. Even though he loves you deeply, you're the only person he is physically connected with, and so you feel the brunt of his displeasure with the present circumstances. I do not believe that he's really angry with you, and instead feel that he is feeling out of control and is angry with himself for being unable to change and stop this isolation insanity. Therefore, I urge you to choose response over reaction and remind him how much you love him and that together you must find a way through these difficult times. It may be helpful for you to get some counseling during these most interesting times, and there are many counselors available. Some see clients in person, and I highly recommend that you find someone who does this. And please remember that love is always the answer. We have only two choices ever, and these choices are love or fear. Anger is a part of fear, so let us solve this issue with love. I feel that you and Bob can easily get through this once you both understand what is really going on.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. And we'll be right back with our musical guest here on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition with Ksenia Luki right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening, someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
We are back. I am Filippo, and our musical guest is a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, and a sound healing practitioner. We so need this now. So glad you're with us. Welcome, Ksenia Luki, to the show.
Hello.
Hello. I love how you wanted to be part of listening into the whole show before you came on. And your music is going to add so much to the conversation.
Oh, absolutely. No, I just wanted to say thank you for opening space for this conversation. I think it's so important to talk about these things openly, and especially with a specialist like Kathy. And thanks, all the thanks to her for, you know, sharing this information with us.
Indeed, indeed, agreed. And speaking of sharing, we want to thank Malia Carvalho for sharing you with us. So thank you to Malia. And you come to music in a very unique way for many of us here in the United States. Please share with us.
Oh, where should I start? I was born in Russia. I'm an Angelino for 11 years now. And I started playing music back in Russia when I was 6. I started singing and I was going to music school, but never finished it, broke up with music. And then through healing modalities, through learning here in the United States, I reconnected with music about 6 years ago. And so it took an interesting turn for me, becoming a what a lot of people call this genre is medicine music, you know, something that holds space, something that assists and supports on, you know, somebody's journey. So this is my take on music.
It's interesting, too, because you not only bring to your music your yoga teaching and your Reiki mastery and all of what you know about body work, etc., and you combine it also a little bit with your Russian heritage, right?
Absolutely. Well, it's a part of my, you know, it's in the blood. Okay. It's something that comes with the roots. So I do, you know, combine it with some folk sounds and Russian folk music and just folk music in general.
Well, actually, want to ask you more about that, but before we do, let's hear a song.
Sure. This song is called Good Days.
It's called what?
It's called Good Days.
Good Days. Ah, okay. Well, here is Ksenia Luki performing live on the Life Changes Show online. Good Days.
There are good days and there are bad days. First the sea is calm and then tsunami waves wipe out my shores. It's time to rebuild the cities. Yes, there are good days and there are bad days. There are endings and new beginnings, but aren't all of them the same momentum and the purpose of our existence? Don't burn the bridges, for their endings, yes. And new beginnings. Is this the balance and the works or cosmic jokes? Who knows? But I've taken windy roads before. A grain of sand reflects the universe effect and cause. I will lay odds, there will be more. So hold me close as I let go. So hold me close as I let go. There are good days and there are bad days, black and white and all the colors in between. Brush over me, a genius and a masterpiece. Yes, there are good days and there are bad days.
though there are good, 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 good days. Yes, there are good days. Is this the balance in the works? Sarcastic jokes, who knows? But I've taken windy roads before. A grain of sand reflects the universe, effect and cause. I will lay odds, there will be more. So hold me close now, dear, as I let go. So hold me close as I let go.
Ksenia, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
Ksenia Luki, I know she has shortened her song so that we can get two songs in here during the show, but if you want to hear the whole song and all of her songs, you could connect with her on website at her website, Ksenia Luki, I'll spell that, .bandcamp.com, and Ksenia is K-S-E-N-I-A. K-S-E-N-I-A-L-U-K-I, KseniaLuki.bandcamp.com. And she's on Facebook at Ksenia Luki Music. And we have all the other links on our website for her. Ksenia, you also, people ask you about your name. So I'm just going to go ahead and say it.
Well, thank you for asking. So, as I mentioned, I was born in Russia, but it's a Greek name, actually. And just because of the, you know, the religious background and, you know, that Russians basically took from Greek, there are a lot of Greek names that are, you know, Russian people use. And my name means a stranger, actually, a traveler.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. And tell us a little bit about the part of Russia where you come from.
So actually, I was born on the very north of part of Russia. That is like, it's literally 30 minutes on a helicopter from Alaska. So it was cool. Yeah. And then I moved to a central part, Siberia. And I'm always cold, even here in LA. People ask me, well, you're Russian. Are you supposed to be hot? And I go, yeah, this is why I'm here, because I want to be hotter.
Well, we're glad you're here, and I think it's amazing that here you found other reasons to go back to music and to combine what you got here through mm-hmm. the work that you've been doing. Mantras, prayers. What are Ikaros?
Ikaros, they're songs from native tribes from South America.
Wow, you draw from everywhere. Well, more power to you. We get to hear another song, right?
Yes.
And this one's called?
It's called Dreams.
Dreams. Okay, well, here's Ksenia Luki performing live on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition, her song Dreams.
Restless soul, you've cried a sea, tired of uncertainty. Now take a breath and wipe your tears. The storm is gone, here comes a summer breeze. Believe and you will see that dreams do come true, they all come true. Just make a wish and follow through. Dear one, agree that life is an opportunity. Reach to the branches of this tree. They're hanging heavy with the fruit to pick. Believe and you will see that dreams do come true. They all come true. Just make a wish and follow through, follow through. Blessings, follow, follow, follow your dreams. Question no more, you know the answer is follow, follow, follow your dreams. Time will unwind a path of granted wishes, trust. Our intentions always travel ahead of us. The storm is gone, here comes a summer breeze. Ooh. The storm is gone, here comes a summer breeze. The storm is gone, here comes a summer breeze. Ooh, my dear one, follow your dreams.
Ksenia Luki. Wow. Thank you so much. Looking forward to hearing a lot more of you and your music. Ksenia is spelled K-S-E-N-I-A Luki, L-U-K-I. And you can find her on her website, ksenialuki.bandcamp.com. What a pleasure to have you, and what a great show to have you on.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I really enjoyed your company, and I really enjoyed offering music for you. Thank you so much.
And thank you for your music, especially on this show. So thank you, Ksenia Luki. And a big thank you to Dr. Katie Eastman as well, our guest. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, saying that is our show. And if your life has changed as much as ours has tonight, then remember, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.